All right. Hello, little sleepers. Hello, much readers. Welcome to the 100th episode of the Little Sleep, Much Reading podcast.
And finally, from so little sleeping and so much reading, his brain dried up and he went completely out of his mind.
Liza and I were so excited to put this together for all of you. To celebrate this big milestone, we called in reinforcements, of course. We had some of our favorite people talk about books they love, because that's what this podcast is all about, celebrating the books that we love. So without further ado, take it away.
Hey y'all, I cannot tell you how insanely lit I am to be recording this for the 100th episode of Little Sleep, Much Reading. I remember when this pod, which is like a little harebrained idea scheme in the back of these two bitches' heads, and the fact that it has not only happened, but is 100 episodes deep, is absolutely insane to me. Liza and Riss, if you're listening, which I know the hell you are, I love you to death. I'm so proud of you. I'm probably gonna cry a little bit when I'm recording this, but it's all good. It's fine. But for y'all that do not know me, my name is Cassidy. I pretty much just kind of showed up to Liza and Riss's spot in Brooklyn one day and refused to leave. My very best friend, Lexi Anderson, from elementary school, middle school, we grew up together. Went to Pratt with Liza and Riss, and I just kind of showed up one day and was like, hey, and ever since then, I have refused to leave, kind of pigeonholed I pigeonholed myself into this friend group, and I just, you know, I won't go. So I love these two girls. I'm so proud of them, and yeah, let's fucking get into it. My life is kind of the opposite of this pod. My life is much sleeping, little reading. Now, I wish I could be a girl that really sits down with a book, cracks that bitch open, and just kind of pours through them. Unfortunately, I just can't do that. I don't have it in me. I wish I could, but I just can't do it. But one thing that I am really, really big into, and I know this is kind of an embarrassing thing, but I really do tell everyone, I'm really big into fan fiction. Now, I am still into it to this day, but my love with fan fiction started when I was probably about 12 or 13 years old. Now, the thing about me is that I always have to be clinically obsessed with something. I don't know if it's an addictive personality. I should probably go to therapy and get a little bit of psychoanalysis for this, but I always need to be obsessed with something, and I always have been historically, and I always will be. So my love of fan fiction kind of started from that. It's kind of been everything. I mean, when I was younger, it started with Justin Bieber, of course, went to One Direction, and then in between, it was TV shows. So it was like Supernatural, it was Queer as Folk, it was Shameless, it was always something. But my love for fan fiction really started when I was really into Supernatural. Now, to give you guys a little bit of a background, Supernatural is a TV show. It's run, oh God, I don't even know, like 13 seasons maybe. And it revolves around two brothers, the Winchesters. Now, the one brother, Sam, couldn't give a shit about him. I don't give a shit about him. He's just not my type of guy. The other guy, Dean Winchester, he's just everything. And a little bit later in the show, they introduce a character named Castiel. Castiel is a fallen angel from heaven. And Dean Winchester is a regular kind of human guy who kind of hunts these supernatural things. So Dean and Castiel, now they kind of form a little bit of a relationship. They're kind of best friends. But obviously to me and a lot of the mentally ill community, we were like, those bitches be gay. They're in love with each other. And it was never canon that they were in love, but everyone in the fandom kind of took it and ran with it. So my love for fanfiction started there. I was on Tumblr, I was reading one-shots, and that led me to Archive of Our Own. And my first fanfiction I ever read from front to back was a little fanfiction called Twist and Shout. Dean Winchester was, it's a whole separate universe from the show. He was, he got drafted into the Vietnam War, and he and Castiel are gay and in love. Dean gets drafted, goes off to war while Castiel kind of stays home, you know, fixing up the house. And then Dean comes back, major PTSD. And, you know, they're kind of like, how do we navigate this new relationship? I was really in it for the gay sex, the really, really explicit gay sex, but there was a lot of levels to it. So that was the first fanfiction I ever read. It was beautifully written, absolutely wonderful, and it was like, it took over my life. So as I kind of went through my different phases of obsessions, fanfiction followed me wherever I went. Now, close to my love for Supernatural, I don't know if the two kind of overlapped, I was obsessed with One Direction. Now, of course I was, because why wouldn't I be? And Riss and Liza both share this kind of obsession with me. So I know these bitches are kind of, they're like, this is hitting close to home. And out of everybody in the band, Harry, of course, was by far my favorite. Like, let's be fucking real. If Harry wasn't your favorite, I mean, Harry, Niall was also acceptable. If your favorite was fucking Liam, Louis, or Zayn, I don't know, go to therapy. Like, that's just something that I can't really help you with. So Harry was my favorite. Now, when I got into fan fiction, it was started with Archive of Our Own, but my One Direction obsession took me to Wattpad. Now, Wattpad had everything. Wattpad is kind of regarded as the teenager's fan fiction source. Like, a lot of the stuff on there isn't well written, but if you're really looking through it, you can find really well written stuff. So, of course, when I first started out, I was reading really, really badly written shit. Like, After, if you guys know that movie After, that was based on a Harry Styles fan fiction that I read when I was 13. That shit was crazy, but it was written by someone at the intelligence level of like a 2-year-old. It was horribly written. But when I was in like the depths of COVID, like I'm talking like April, May 2021, 2020, whenever the fuck it started, like March, April, May of that like first year of COVID, I was like, shit, I kind of need to get back into my fan fiction game because I have nothing to fucking do. So I went back on Wattpad and I found some really, really well-written stuff. Like the first one I ever read when I was back into my COVID era was a fan fiction about Harry Styles was a trapeze artist. And the other character was also a trapeze artist. And they fall in love and they have sex while trapezing in the air. Like, it was, and it was a beautifully written thing. Now, it's kind of led me into, like, this new one that I'm into. Okay, well, get this. One Direction, they're a cover-up for a mafia organization. And Harry Styles is the ringleader. And they're doing all this crazy, robbing banks, doing all kinds of shit. And Harry Styles has a relationship with their tour photographer. Explicit sex, guys. Like, explicit smut. The craziest you've ever read. But it's really well written. I've read a ton of them. So, you know, while I might not be into the, you know, hardcover paperback books, I am running through those Harry Styles fan fictions to this day. And I don't really read any other fan fiction. I'm kind of just into Harry Styles because I've kind of found my niche. I believe the word is niche. But yeah, so that's kind of me. What the fuck I'm about, what the fuck I'm reading. But yeah, I love Liza and Riss so damn much. I'm so proud of them. I cannot believe there's 100 episodes. And guys, more power to you. I'll see you on the 200th. Love you to death.
Oh my gosh. Thank you, Cassidy. We love you so much. Also, like, kind of send me the links to those fanfics so I can read them, please. That would be so nice. Yeah, I miss Cassidy more than anything because I never get to see her, but I'm so excited to party it up with you, girlfriend, in a couple of months. It's going to be so fun. And yeah. And after listening to all that raunchy stuff, let's now cue up the man, the myth, the legend, Liza's dad.
Greetings. My name is Jonathan Pelto, and my daughter Eliza is a co-founder and co-host of this remarkable podcast, Little Sleep, Much Reading. When I heard they were looking for input on what are people's favorite books, I approached the task with some trepidation. A favorite book changes based on time and space and a variety of other factors. I have a favorite book, but I also have, for example, favorite foods, but they change. I like Mexican food, but I also like Indian food. I like good Italian food. I certainly like Thai and Vietnamese food. There's a whole variety of favorites depending on the day or the mood or when I had that food last. Or maybe it's more like being asked, who's your favorite child? Even if you have one, which you shouldn't, you definitely don't announce it. So a favorite book is a hard thing for me to wrap my head around. That said, I would say that The Lord of the Rings has been my favorite book for most of my life, or at any given moment in my life. It was most likely The Lord of the Rings. I think I first read it when I was about 10, and I have returned to that book for comfort and support and opening passageways to imagination and fantasy in full or in part probably 50 times. And for me, it gave me the notion that you could dream about anything you wanted to dream. You could imagine yourself as anything you wanted to imagine. Who, at least in my case, didn't want to be a dwarf or an elf or a hobbit, a great man or even a wizard, or a dragon for that matter. And I returned to that book and to the writings of J.R.R. Tolkien on multiple occasions, and many other fantasy writers as well, a nod to Ursula Le Guin and that whole area of writing. But it was always The Lord of the Rings that I have returned to. That said, I find that I have lots of other favorite books, and they meet the definition of a favorite book. They rise above all others. But they fall into two broad categories. When it comes to my ideology, my belief system, the notion of right or wrong, justice or injustice, good and evil, I would say the list starts with George Orwell's 1984, Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451, Kurt Vonnegut's Cat's Cradle, and of course Franz Kafka's The Trial. Those were all books that once I read and or returned to, rose to the level of the category of favorite. Also in that genre were The Death of the Salesman by Arthur Miller, The Jungle by Upton Sinclair, Silent Spring by Rachel Carson, Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee by Dee Brown, all individually and collectively helping to determine my own sense of right and wrong and justice and injustice, as I said. And then there's a second broad category, which I would put under the idea of the meaning of life. And for those, I have always found the guiding lights to be the works of magical realism. The first time I recall reading one of those and suddenly feeling like I began to see or understand the meaning of life or the greater universe or the concept of what it's all about, I have to say, was The Master and Margarita. But there were many others, the works of Gabriel Garcia Marquez or Mario Vargas Llosa. And then came across the works of Haruki Murakami. And it was there that I found the connection that led to a series of books that I would call my true favorites. Of course, his short stories, Norwegian Wood, South of the Border, West of the Sun, After Dark. And for me, above it all, was Kafka on the Shore, or is Kafka on the Shore. Together and individually, the works of Murakami and also the works of some of the other great magical realism writers help to shine light on this idea of what it's all about. In almost every case, I liked the book. It rose to the top of my list because it's simply a great story. These are great story writers, and I enjoyed every moment, or almost every moment, of reading it. It was something that was truly remarkable. And then, as I thought about it, or as I came back to them, or as I tried to analyze them, they constantly opened up doors and windows that I could see more of the world than I had before. I had more of a sense of what it all meant. So, what's my favorite book? It's a long list of a favorite book. And at the very top is the one that started it, and I return to, and that is The Lord of the Rings. But there are lots of other favorite books that I have come to and returned to when I think about that concept of what is a favorite. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to ponder these things. Have a good day.
Thank you, Liza's dad. That was lovely. Now we can all see how Liza is so well-spoken and how she has the perfect voice for a podcast, because your voice is so calming. You were so well-spoken. And I feel like we just took a great journey together, and that was so fun. Let's cue Alexis. Take it away, girl.
Hi, everyone. My name's Alexis, and I work at Barnes & Noble with Marissa, who is literally my favorite. And I read a lot of, like, fantasy romance, so we read very different books. But I think I have to talk about my favorite series of all time, which is Throne of Glass by Sarah J. Maas. And I wasn't sure which book to talk about because, like, I feel like a lot of people are hesitant to say that a really popular series is their favorite because it kind of makes them seem a little basic. But I think it's popular for a reason. And this series literally changed the way I think. Like, I wish I could get amnesia to read it again. That's how good it was. And I actually read her two other series first because A Court of Thorns and Roses is actually what got me back into reading during COVID. And then I read Crescent City, and I was just waiting to read Throne of Glass because it's such a long series, and it kind of is daunting in the fact that the books are so long, and it's a fantasy. It's not really fantasy romance, so there's a whole lot of world building before you can even get in. But she does it super well, where you don't really feel like it's world building. She adds in those details throughout where you don't feel overwhelmed. But I literally love the series so much. So for those that don't know, it is a 8-book series. And the premise of it is there is an assassin in a world without magic who is captured and put into slavery. And she now has a chance to gain her freedom. She just has to compete in the king's trials to become his champion. It is so good. So one of my favorite parts about it is that it starts from a very small perspective than what you gain at the end. So you actually only start with 3 perspectives. You have Selena, you have Dorian, and you have Kale. And I think, honestly, that was the best thing she could have done because it doesn't feel overwhelming. And then throughout each book, you get more perspectives as you go along to the point where at the end you have this giant cast of characters, but it doesn't feel overwhelming because of the way that she introduces them throughout. And it doesn't feel random because everything she writes is planned. And that is one of my favorite things about the series, is just the level of detail that she goes into. Every single plot point is thought out. I've definitely read some series where it feels like there is just like these random things included in it to create these plot twists and just these weird things that feel unplanned, that feel like they were added just for shock factor. But with Sarah J. Maas, everything she does has intention. And it does give you that shock factor, but it's because in book 2, she added a small detail in, and in book 7, it comes back, and it's so important to the plot, and you never saw it. So when you do your reread, you see all these new details again. Another thing I love about the series is it's also for like boys and girls. I would recommend it for everyone. I know a lot of fantasy either leans very male or very female, but I feel like this series really doesn't, compared to like her Court of Thorns and Roses series. I would say is really just for girls. Like, I don't know a lot of guys who like it, but I think Throne of Glass is for everyone, and it gives off the same vibes as like Game of Thrones, but not as murderous. That being said, she does not hesitate to kill characters, so that is a warning for people. I did cry multiple times during this series. She puts her characters through so much, but it doesn't feel like it's there just for the sake of the plot, which I enjoy. And she really takes her characters on a journey, and she took her time with them, which is part of the reason that those 8 books don't really feel like 8 books, because of the fact that her characters actually go through like so much growth in the books, and it feels so genuine. There have been series that I've read where you just feel like the character's stuck in one place and the author's saying that they've grown, but you don't really feel it. And I think with fantasy, it's super important that you get that like genuine human emotion written in. I love these books so much. I could talk about them for years. I think that's part of the reason that they're probably one of the most popular series ever, is just because of how well they are written and how well they're planned. They're definitely new adult books too, because I don't think they should be read by anyone younger than 16. They were originally young adult, but then they got re-released, and the new covers I think are so fitting. I know some people like are really nostalgic for the old ones, but I think the old covers make it seem like a lot more immature than it is, whereas the new cover just fits the themes of the book, it fits the vibe, and it looks like an adult fantasy like epic. It doesn't look like this like little tween novel that it used to look like. So I do think the covers really, really work for it in the re-release. I personally have all the new ones except for the first one. I have the old cover, but eventually I'll have the full collection and the collector's edition because it's beautiful. But I am going to do a reread soon of it. You get new details every time you read it, I think, because I've reread her other series a few times already, but I haven't really jumped into this one yet just because of the length of it. And I remember my one coworker was begging me to read the series for like weeks, and I finally said, okay, fine, but this is going to take me my whole summer to read it. It's going to take me so long. You know, it's 8 books. The last one's 1,000 pages. It literally took me 2 weeks to read the whole series. I couldn't put it down. I think I read the fourth book, Queen of Shadows, in one day. And I think I read Empire of Storms in one day. Literally took me no time. The only thing I have to say about this series really negative is the reading order is very questionable, because we have the tandem read, which is the 2 books that you can read at the same time, or you can read separately, but they take place at the same time. And we have the prequel book, the novellas, that there's also like questionable reading order for that. So it's kind of hard, because whenever people ask me, I'm like, well, it depends on what type of reader you are. If you are really good at reading fantasy, I recommend doing the tandem read. I recommend reading the novella first. But the first book, like Throne of Glass, it does a really good job of introducing the world to you in a way that Assassin's Blade doesn't. So like, I think for people really good at like pushing through a hard read should read Assassin's Blade first. But people who really need that world building, they need that like general progression of like a quick paced book, should start with Throne of Glass. But it's all up for interpretation.
Alexis, my small bean, I love you so much. Thank you. Fun fact about Alexis, every time my mom will drop me off to work and we like see Alexis like walking in, my mom thinks that something about Alexis reminds her of Liza, and I see it. I don't know what it is, but something's there. So Alexis is like my Liza when I'm not with Liza. And since we just did Alexis, let's pass it along to one of my other work friends, Robert, also known as Robertito by some.
Hi there, my name is Robert, and I'm a friend of Marissa. First off, thank you for inviting me to do this, Marissa. I'm happy to support you, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to do this. And I also should mention that I love podcasts and I'm thrilled to be here. Marissa and I know each other because we're coworkers through work, and that's really it. She's awesome, and working with her is also awesome. There's never a dull moment with Marissa, let me tell you that much, folks, as you all should know by now, of course. And a little about me. I like to read a little bit of everything, from fiction to sci-fi fantasy, which is more my shtick, to horror, graphic novels, and even a little bit of nonfiction. I like reading a little bit of everything, and that's actually one of my favorite things about reading as well. There's something for everyone, and as long as the premise of the story is interesting enough, I think I'm going to dive in and give it to a whirl. It doesn't matter if it's a silly little romance, or like a cheap like thriller, or like a trashy horror novel. I'm down, and I'll give everything an earnest shot. So, I've recently just finished reading Mouse by Art Spiegelman, and these are graphic novels pertaining about Art's father, Vladek Spiegelman, and his experiences in World War II as a Polish Jew. It's an immensely gripping tale, and we got to see how he survived when millions and many of his family did not survive. There's a lot of back and forth between his time in World War II leading up to the rise of Germany, up to his liberation from Auschwitz, and then jumps to the present of when it was being written and when he was still around interacting with Art and all that. It was such a great story, and it was also horrifying at the same time. There's really no better metaphor to describe this story than the cat and mouse analogy, because that's really what it felt like. Spiegelman's art and the story of Vladek was able to make me feel terrified, like I was really there. Like, one moment, a cover was going to be blown, and it's like, off to Auschwitz with you. That's one thing this graphic novel does super well. I've always loved reading history as well. I've never really read much history since I've been finished with school, so this was like the first real story I've read about, like, a historical event on my own time that I've done for fun. And I can confidently say it's kicked off a little bit of an extra interest for me. I want to read more stuff. I want to read more history. And that's exciting for me, because history is great. How are we going to learn from the mistakes of our past if we don't expose ourselves and learn about it? And if you haven't read Mouse yet, I highly recommend it. Even if you're someone who doesn't like history or Holocaust history or even graphic novels, you should read this. These books, because there's two of them, are simply fantastic. I finished these on July 11th of 2024, which is like a day or two after this recording, and I can't stop thinking about it. You really need to get yourself a copy of it. I know there's copies at your local library, I'm sure you can even get some if you order it as well. Definitely read Mouse by Art Spiegelman. Can't recommend it enough. But with that said, that'll be all for me. Thanks again, Marissa, for inviting me on board, and congratulations to you two for reaching over 100, or actually will be 100 episodes. That's a lot. I'm Robert, and I'm signing out. Peace. Man, I've always wanted to say that.
Robert also sent me in this little tidbit, and I have to play it for you guys because I just do.
Little Sleep Much Reading Podcast is sponsored by Raid Shadow Legends. If you're looking for a new game to play while listening to your favorite audiobook, look no further than Raid Shadow Legends. I have no idea why I made this stupid little ad, that I just thought it'd be funny.
Thanks, Robert. We're actually not sponsored, but would love to be, so thanks for making that ad. If we ever get sponsored, you're the guy who's going to do our commercials. Great. So Robert he has quickly become one of my favorite people to work with because he's so darn funny. He just does the funniest things. Quick story. One time he was talking with a customer and they came up and they were like buying a bird book or something, and he was trying to make a connection with them. And so he was like, I can't even say it. Okay, he was like, oh, you're buying a bird book. one of my coworkers got possessed by an owl. And of course, the customer is supposed to say, who? But instead, they were like, what? And Robert, king of the bit, can't let go of the bit, continued this bit. And so as he's like cashing them out, he starts going, would you who, like who, a bag for 5 cents? Who? And I have never laughed so hard at work before in my life. He just makes my days very funny, and I appreciate that, especially working in retail. So thanks for that, Robert. Okay, next we're going to pass it to another one of my favorite coworkers, obviously. I just don't know why one day I latched onto this person and was like, this one is going to be the one that I'm silly goofy with all the time. And so take it away, Torrance McGee.
Hello, my name is Tori. I'm a bookseller that works with Riss, and I am really looking forward to talking about my all-time favorite book and book series, which is The Hunger Games by Suzanne Collins. I absolutely adore it. If you have never read The Hunger Games series or watched any of the movies, essentially, at least the first book focuses on once a year, there is an event called The Hunger Games, where 12 pairs of teenagers are forced to fight to the death until one victor remains. And these pairs are from 12 different districts, and these districts are a part of a country called Panem, where there are these poor districts, and then there is the capital, which has a bunch of rich people, politicians, people in charge that have a lot of wealth and money and land. I feel like the Hunger Games usually gets jumbled in with a lot of other young adult fantasy or dystopian or sci-fi kind of books where there's a love triangle, there's the chosen one protagonist, when it really is so much more than that. It is such a profound book that takes real issues like greed, capitalism, classism, class divisions, warfare, the justification of war, and it narrows it down in such simple terms, which is really good for readers of all ages, which not too many young adult books do. I first read The Hunger Games when I was, I think, 11 or 12. It was after the movie was announced that it was going to be released, but before the movie came out. I wanted to read the book before the movie came out because I am one of the believers that the book is always better than the movie. So I definitely wanted to read it, understand it, get into the thoughts of the characters before seeing the movie, and it definitely shaped how my little middle school brain worked. It was something I delved very deep into. It was a hyperfixation for at least a year. I really, really, really loved it, and obviously I still do because I'm talking about it a decade later. When I first read The Hunger Games, though, as not even a teenager but a preteen, it definitely didn't click as much as it does now as an adult. When I first read it, it was more like, oh, this is going to be action-y, there's going to be violence, there's going to be death, there's a female main character who has two guys that want her. But it really is so much more than that. It goes into the mind of this young girl who all she wanted to do was save her younger sister and essentially the rest of her family, which is just her mother at this point, from starvation, from dying. And she did that the only way she could, which was volunteering for the Hunger Games when her sister's name gets picked. She doesn't want to fight anyone to the death. She doesn't want the glory of being a victor. She doesn't want the riches. She doesn't want to lead a revolution, ultimately, for the district. She just wants to be a good big sister and protect her younger sister, which I think is something so beautiful to have a main character who is technically the chosen one, but doesn't want to be. And also at the end of the day is just a normal person who was forced to survive and survive at a faster rate compared to other girls her age. I could honestly ramble about The Hunger Games for hours and hours and hours. but I wanted to keep this short and sweet and just talk about why I love it, and hopefully it inspires some of you to want to pick up the book again and read it. I definitely will, especially now that there is going to be a new book Suzanne Collins is coming out with, I think next year, about the 50th Hunger Games, which is Haymitch's Games, and it surrounds propaganda, which I think is going to be really fascinating to read about. And lastly, I just wanted to say thank you, Liza and Riz, for having me on Little Sleep, Much Reading. Thanks, you guys.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, Tori. Again, I love Tori so much. I can't even explain why. I really, truly just feel like one day we had one shift together and I was just like, I just want to be best friends with Tori. I just want to attach myself at Tori, and that's just going to be the way that it is. And it's literally been that way ever since. Every shift we have together, I'm just like wildly excited. And yeah. And last but certainly never least in any way, I would like my favorite little thing to take it away for us and to tell us what his favorite book is. So my little guy, baby genius, let's let the whole world know what your favorite book is right now. And I'm sure with an aunt like me who's constantly buying you books, it'll be ever changing. And that's great, and that's okay. And I love that. Your favorite book should always be changing, and it should always be the same, and there should always be books in constant rotation. So the mic is yours, little prince.
Okay. Auntie Riz is here with Silvio. Come here. Say hi, I'm Silvio. So we have all Silvio's favorite books laid out in front of us. Silvio, do you want to pick out a book? Which one is this? 10 Apples Up on Top. Is this your favorite book? Yes, it is. Silvio, would you be able to type 10 apples up on top? Do you want to try typing it for Auntie? Can Auntie type it? All right, let's see. Can you help me? What does it say? 10 apples up on top. You don't want to type it? You don't want to? Maybe we can give it a try. Okay. Do you want to type it out for me or no?
I don't see it.
Okay. Sylvia, do you want to type it out for Auntie?
1, 0.
Okay. Well, then I have another question for you. Can Auntie ask you another question?
Yeah.
So Silvio's favorite book is 10 Apples Up on Top, right, bud?
Mm-hmm.
You want to say it? 10 Apples Up on Top. And who is it by? Dr. Seuss, writing as Theo Lesage. Do you think that's how we say it? All right. What is this book about? What happens in the book? Who are the main characters? Who are these guys? What is he? He's a...
Baba?
Can you tell me?
Brian.
And who's this?
Tiger.
And who's this?
Dad.
Dog.
And what do they try to balance on their heads?
Baba.
Apple. Lion, tiger, dog, apple.
So the lion, tiger, and the dog are trying to balance apples on their heads, right? Good job. And what's the name of the book again?
Apple.
You want to try to type it one more time or no? Okay, good. Good job. Thank you for being part of Angie's interview. Do you want to say anything else? Do you want to say goodbye or anything? Goodbye. Good job, bud.
That was my little bean coming to you guys with some Sylvie words and some AAC mixed in there. And his favorite book is 10 Apples Up on Top. Although I think by this time it might have changed already to be one of the Elephant and Piggy books. But hey, that's okay. We could talk about whatever we want to talk about, right? So thank you so much, Silvio, for being a part of Auntie and Liza's shenanigans. We both love you so much, and I can't wait to see all the things that you will read. And that's a wrap on that. Thanks to all of our friends for helping us out with this. Thanks to our listeners. Shout out to India from Talking Leaves. Shout out to Silvio's favorite teacher, Miss Maggie. Shout out to anyone who gets the recommendations from us. We love you. We love talking books with you. We're still ironing out the kinks of our next season, so I'm not too sure what it'll look like, but whatever it turns out to be, I hope you'll all be hanging out with us once again. We love you guys. Keep fighting the good fight. And on that, we'll see you soon.